I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Hi again. This is Lisa DeLay, and this is Soul School lesson number 5. I'm doing these Soul Schools every Wednesday until the end of 2015. Then I'm only going to do them by popular demand. If you like them, I'll keep doing them, and you need to let me know. You can let me know on Twitter using @LisaDeLay to let me know by message, or you can go to sparkmymuse.com and send me a note. If I hear from you and I know that you like them, I'll continue them. If not, I'll let them go. So this lesson is called, Would You Be Offended If I Told You You Got Offended Way Too Much? So I was thinking about what happens when we get offended. And one of the reasons I was thinking about getting offended is because I was on Facebook. Facebook is the official place to get offended. If there's one thing you can be sure is that somebody will say something offensive on there. And maybe it's political, maybe it's social, maybe some current event will horrify you, maybe something religious. I have friends from all different walks of life with all different sorts of opinions, and that's perfectly fine. But I know that if Facebook were just a party, I would never go to it. If people really spoke like that to me face to face, they would never really be my friends. But I know that the anonymity of the screen allows people the protection to say all sorts of things that are on their mind and have a brazenness that they wouldn't have otherwise, and to dismiss courtesy and politeness. And sometimes things do need to be said. It's not to say that there aren't reasons to say things outright. But I've noticed that the nastiness that I've noticed on social media is just not worth my time. I try to really limit my time there and try to say constructive things when possible and try to avoid people and comments and things like that that seem divisive and mean-spirited if possible. And usually use Facebook to leave links to things that I'm doing or maybe show some pictures to my friends and close friends and family to show what I'm doing in my life. I don't really participate more than that because I find it actually offensive. So I was winding up thinking in my mind, what makes something offensive? What happens to us when we're offended? I was talking to Vinod Goel, a neuroscientist in Canada, on episode 30 on Spark My Muse. And he studies the brain, and he says that we make really bad decisions when the part of our brain that filters out emotional content doesn't quite filter it out from the facts. And then the reasoning part of our brain doesn't get the facts minus all the emotional content. And we'll make really bad decisions. People who have really high IQs, who have damage in that part of their brain, can come to terrible conclusions when that part of their brain hasn't filtered out emotional content. And that's also what happens to us when we get offended. We will really stop being rational. And so as I was thinking about this thing of making someone offended or finding offense in something, I was realizing that it had a lot to do with being threatened. And then breaking that down a little further, what exactly is being threatened? And I guess it could be a few things. It could be our sense of self or our values or our identities. And maybe why there's this glut of kittens on the interwebs is because it would take an army of kittens to combat all the nastiness out there. And no one can possibly be threatened by a kitten. So in order to combat all the nastiness and the hatred and the evilness and the mean-spiritedness and all the opinionated people out there will sometimes help. So when we're threatened, a kitten probably won't be involved, but when we're threatened, something happens to us and we have to take stock of what exactly about us is being threatened. When we're taking stock of that, it really goes back to our sense of self. And our sense of self is truly something that I'm coming to realize is so much more fiction than fact. And what I mean by that is that our sense of self really does work like a scaffolding around who we really are. The person that we really are is really sourced in God, and the self may only be, our sense of self may only be 5 or 10% really useful, and the other 85% can be very destructive and very harmful to us, actually. Because it works to be desirous of things that only give extremely momentary pleasure and always be wanting, the self never is satisfied, it only wants. And also the self works to only separate, not to unite. Because if you think about it, when you're with someone else and enjoying yourself, you don't have a sense of self. You have a sense of we, not me. And aside from that, there's also the sense of identity that is wrapped up in self too. So you decide who you are through identity. And if your identity is somehow threatened, you will be offended. But what is identity? Identity is how we decide who we are. But it's actually a construct also. And it's such an elaborate construct that we mistake it for something real. And it is really just facade upon facade upon facade. And in the end, all our identity will be stripped away from us. Say you've gone to school for 20 years of your life and you have this incredibly advanced degree and you have all these special skills. Eventually, really just in a few decades, you're going to end up on your deathbed. Your identity will be completely stripped. There'll be nothing of that identity left. It'll all be gone. You will be hardly remembered in 10 or 20 years. Even if you're world famous, you will hardly be remembered. That identity is false. And, you know, people have said, clothes make the man, right? Identity is like clothes. But if someone put your clothing on your chair at supper time and then went about acting as though it was you, start speaking to you and acting as though it was you, of course it would be absurd. Identity works in a very similar way. It's like the clothes we put on to decide who we are and to form this opinion about ourselves and to help other people form opinions about us. Not to condemn, we all do this, so it's, you know, I'm condemning myself and the rest of us. We all do it. But as we take hold of this idea that identity is largely false, it's like a false god. And anything that's false gets burned away. It eventually fades. It eventually crumbles. It eventually disappoints and fails us. Anything false will be burned away, will not stand any sort of test of time, certainly won't stand any test of eternity. And so your homework this week in this soul school until next Wednesday when I release another one is to just notice and be aware of the next time you get offended. Could be immediately today that it happens. And maybe just give yourself a break and laugh at yourself a little bit, like, I did it again, I got offended. It's going to happen. We're going to have a lot of things about ourselves wrapped up in what we get offended about. It doesn't mean it's always 100% wrong. If our values are getting offended, it points to the things that are very important to us. And that's fine, especially in the cases of our values being offended at someone's oppression and someone being harmed. Of course we should be offended and take action in those cases. But in the cases where we're personally offended because something of ourself or our identity is violated, those are things that we can let go and pass by as being just the scaffolding, the facade that is not a part of who we really are. It's this construct we've built to sort of understand ourselves and help people understand us and make our way in the world. But it isn't really going to be well with our soul when we give a lot of value to this facade and this structure and this construct. It's not going to be well with our soul when we allow our anxieties to dictate our lives in the ways we get offended, in the ways we're threatened, and in the kind of emotional turmoil that will happen to us depending on what people say. my wish for you and my blessing for you this week is that you see yourself as not your identity and not as this construct and scaffolding of self, but that you see yourself as primarily sourced in the Creator God who made you and loves you, who is love, and that you come home to that, and that that love spreads in and through you and out to others. I hope you'll come by Spark My Muse and see all the other resources and tune in on Friday when there's a new show. If you enjoyed this at all, I really hope you'll share it with a friend. If you feel extra generous, maybe write a review on iTunes. That would be really great. I don't have my identity wrapped up in whether you write a review, but it would be appreciated. Thank you so much for listening.